This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msbnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Barrett Salee, CBSSports.com, at Barrett Salee on Twitter, joining us now on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. Let's just pick it up right there, Barrett. We look at the SEC, look at Kentucky, what they were able to do to this Tennessee team. Kentucky, you know, with the loss that they had, the tight loss that they had to Ole Miss, and you look at the game that they had with Auburn, maybe Kentucky kind of finding their stride, finding their rhythm. This could be one of those teams that really caused some headaches in the Eastern Division, the Southeastern Conference.
Yeah, maybe they're what we thought Tennessee might be. You know, that team that doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low, but is going to be competitive every week. That seems kind of like what Kentucky might be now. And you saw that last week. They took advantage of some poor decisions from Derek Arantano. They got pressure on him. And they, you know, the offense is effective. It's not flashy, but it's effective. So, yeah, they are, they're not going to win the division, but I think it's fair to assume that after you get by Georgia and Florida, that there's a clear cut number three, and it's Kentucky. And, you know, they had some bad luck early. Obviously, they played some close games, but man, they seem to be getting right and getting right with a really, really potent ground game.
If Kentucky were to play Auburn this weekend, who would be favored?
Probably Auburn, based on name recognition. And that would really be the only reason, because I would pick Kentucky in that game. But, yeah, I think it would be I would say Auburn's probably favored, but it would be less than a field goal. I think the confidence in Auburn has waned, obviously, and justifiably, and I think confidence in Tennessee in Kentucky is there. I mean, they look like a competitive football team. So I would say Auburn, but barely.
All right, and speaking of Auburn, and we threw this out there, it kind of feels like it's a crossroads game based on what they have remaining on their schedule. Already with the two losses, some huge games coming up. Seems like a must-win. You don't want to call it a must-win, but if Auburn drops this game at Ole Miss coming up tomorrow, what is maybe your gut, Barrett, on the Gus Malzahn, load up the moving truck, it's time to get out? How much of that are we going to start hearing, not only from the Auburn fan base, but factions down there that you know all too well within the Auburn family?
Yeah, I mean, the fans are going to be really mad. There's no doubt about that. I think the decision makers, well, the boosters will voice their displeasure too. I just think in terms of decision making, you have to make decisions based on, you know, reason, not based on emotion. And financially, I just don't understand how you could fire Gus Malzahn. Now, I'm not privy to Auburn's bottom line. I don't think any of us are, but I think in terms of risk, I think we all know that the risk from a financial standpoint to fire a coach that has a massive buyout right now is pretty high. It's a risky situation because no one knows what the financial situation is going to be next year, year after next. How long, you know, how big of a drop it will be in terms of revenue, and for how long. So I think that part of it is really all that decision makers will care about, in that conversation. With that said, you know, I kind of view Gus as the world's best okay coach. He gets you something, right? Like, he gets you in the playoff mix every once in a while. He beats Nick Saban more than any other SEC coach. He's done some good things, and that he should be complimented for. And then you get what happened last week, and you get it pretty much every year, even in the good years when, you know, they're fighting for the college football playoff, like 2017 when, you know, they lost to Georgia. They also blew just an awful lead at LSU that year. And so you get that all the time with him. I get the frustration. It's justified. I certainly, like you probably do, Landerman, and you, Pat, as well, expect there to be some major voices in the ears of Alan Green and the rest of that, you know, the athletic department. But it's way more complicated than he's just not getting it done on the field. And that's true not just at Auburn, but really all across the country at this point.
Barrett, if Arkansas is the surprise of the SEC, who is your biggest disappointment so far in the SEC?
Oh, it's LSU. I mean, look at the second, and it's not just because, you know, they're the defending champs. I think we all sort of expected them to take a step back because of the personnel loss or whatever. But and that big of a setback is disappointing. But I think more than anything else, the coaching, and specifically Bo Pelini, has been awful. And I think that is more problematic than anything else, because you had Ed Orgeron trying to figure out how to sustain success. It made, I think, what he thought and what a lot of people thought was a wise decision going out and getting, you know, Bo Pelini, a guy who's been in LSU before. He's obviously had success winning 9 games at Nebraska multiple times. And it's the exact opposite of what I think a lot of people expected. I personally didn't expect Bo Pelini to be Brent Venables or anything like that, but certainly expected him to at least have somewhat of an idea on how to adjust mid-game, and he doesn't. And I think that, coupled with the fact that, you know, they're 1-2 and Mississippi State, obviously that loss is looking worse and worse. LSU, for sure, is the biggest disappointment.
All right, Barrett, what we saw from Alabama, they continue to impress on the offensive side of the football, rolling up the amount of points they could have scored more had they wanted to against Georgia last week. We had this discussion earlier in the week. How would you describe from this year to last year Alabama's offense? Would you say that it's better than the offense that you saw in 2019?
Oh, man, no, I wouldn't say it's better. I would say it's comparable. I think we need to see a little bit more sample size, even though obviously beating Georgia and exploiting that defense the way that it did is certainly impressive. It is only 4 games. So right now, is it comparable? Yeah. I mean, you look at the stats, Mac Jones is comparable to Joe Burrow through 4 games last year in pretty much every possible way. I think it can be considered better at some point if this continues. I don't know if you can say that quite yet, although the fact that we're even discussing it as a realistic possibility, you know, speaks volumes as to where Alabama is.
Barrett, after the Texas A&M Florida game, questions started arising, obviously, on Todd Grantham's defense down in Gainesville, and then the COVID-19 situation has taken hold of that Florida football program. So not only were you going to try to have to fix that defense that got exposed in College Station, but now you've had to hit complete pause on your football program. Once these guys get back, they're hoping to get back on Monday, but can this Florida team correct those errors, but mainly just be able to get the football team back going again, because it seems like you're going to be back to week 1 of the regular season?
Yeah, they are. I think that if there is one saving grace, it's that they have plenty of time to self-scout, and clearly they need that. So there is that aspect of it for the coaching staff to look at film and say, all right, here's what we're doing wrong. And if you look at that defense, it's pretty much everything, but definitely third down defense. So yeah, it's going to be hard for them. I think offensively they'll be fine. Snap ball throw to Kyle Pitts is a pretty good idea. It's a pretty good scheme. It's a pretty good philosophy. So I think there'll always be that. But it could definitely hinder what Florida, you know, could be. And I think that they could be one of those teams, kind of like a Big 12 team, where the defense is obviously what it is, but they're going to have to outscore them. And that's why I still think Florida's going to win the SEC East, because they're going to be able to put Georgia into the type of game that Alabama put Georgia in last week and say, all right, Bulldogs, go score 30 on us. And look, a lot of teams can score 30, but can Florida put up 40? You know, maybe. Alabama certainly did. So I think Florida is certainly going to hurt the fact that they have this impromptu layoff, especially because they're not working out and people are losing weight and they're sick or whatever. But that doesn't change the fact that their offense is going to be fine. And really, they're just going to have to outscore teams, which really, you know, whether they fix the defense or not, was going to kind of be the case anyway.
Barrett Salee, CBSSports.com, at Barrett Salee on Twitter, or you can follow him there. We discussed this yesterday. I want to get your thoughts. The Big Ten, one game tonight, the rest of the slate coming up tomorrow as they open up their 2020 season. Give me one thing Barrett Salee's looking for out of the Big Ten.
I want to see, this sounds odd, I want to see Minnesota. Yeah, we all know what Ohio State is, but Minnesota last year, it seems like everyone has forgotten that they were legitimately in the college football playoff mix until rivalry weekend. That's how long it went. And the reason was because of just an awesome offense that got better and better and a defense that was stifling. Well, the defense part of it's gone, but Tanner Morgan's there. He gets Rashad Bateman back. Muhammad Ibrahim's there. They have some experience up front. To me, kind of like what we talked about with Alabama and with Florida, Minnesota is going to be able to dictate tempo, dictate style to pretty much everybody in that division and to Michigan tomorrow. And if that's the case, then I want to see how that translates to in terms of them actually being a legit contender, like one of those teams where it's not a cute little story on rivalry weekend. It's legitimately they have a shot, because I do think that they can get to that point as long as they play decent defense. At times, just enough defense. Like if it was Florida on third down, if they can just get just enough defense, that team's going to be fun to watch.
In regards to the ACC, watching Notre Dame last week against Louisville, kind of scratched your head a little bit. Then you saw North Carolina lose at Florida State. But I wanted to ask you about this Notre Dame team. They're playing a pesky Pittsburgh team that's really good on defense. Now, at times, they've given up some points, but their defensive line is the real deal there at Pittsburgh. Any chance that the Irish might be walking into a potential upset there at Heinz Field?
Yeah, they could. I mean, Pitt's defense is really solid, and the fact that they're doing it without Twillman, their best defensive lineman who opted out, is perhaps even more impressive. So, yeah, Notre Dame's in a tough spot. I think that the fact that Ian Book has not done really anything of importance this year is something they should be worried about, because he's supposed to be the centerpiece of that offense, and as it is, it's Kyren Williams, the running back, who's obviously become one of their best receivers, too. They should be worried, because Pitt can play defense. Pitt always has a game or two where they kind of jump up and terrify folks. If they don't bring the upset, they're still in close games. And there's really nothing that inspires confidence in what Notre Dame's offense is doing outside of Kyren Williams. So, yeah, they should be concerned. And it's funny because, we all do these ballots and we all talk about the rankings and all this other stuff. And you look at the top five and it's like, okay, someone's going to have to beat four. Someone's going to have to be five. And I don't know about you guys, but I really, really don't want to put Notre Dame there. And yet there really aren't other options to put them in the top five at this point.
Barrett, we always appreciate you joining us. Wish we were talking about the World Series, but we're not. And we're just going to talk college football and pretend the baseball season is over.
And that's all right. But Barrett, we're talking about the World Series.
Hey, Barrett, before you go, I asked Landrum this question a few weeks ago when we were talking Braves baseball. Just get your thoughts on this quickly. In regards to Marcell Ozuna, if you're the GM there in Atlanta, I mean, what kind of package are you putting together for him to try to keep him in Atlanta?
Well, I would have said throwing money at him, but I read yesterday that they're not thinking the DH is going to stay in the NL, at least in 2021.
Correct.
So, as much as I love Marcell, where are you going to put him? Because the outfield, not to say the outfield doesn't need him, because, man, he provides a big-time bat, but he is a liability on defense. So I think it would have to sort of figure out exactly what the outfield's going to look like, where they want to do defensively, and if they do feel like he's the best option and can provide, just enough, then okay. But I don't know, man. It's disappointing that the DH isn't going to be in the NFL or in the National League, because if it was, I'd throw all the money at him.
Yeah, I fell in love with the DH, by the way. Bat's a purist. He wants to do away with it, but I'm all about it. Let's bring it on. A lot more
entertaining. I am too. Look, hey, you know what? I used to be a purist, and then I realized that, you know what? The DH is pretty solid. Like, having having somebody at the bottom of the lineup, for us it was Riley at times and it was Pache in the playoffs, it makes it a lot easier for Ronald Acuna. And that, I think, that's the deal with the Braves. It's like, if you have an actual player batting ninth, it makes it a whole hell of a lot easier to put Ronald Acuna at leadoff and let him do his damage.
Well said. Pitchers and catchers, they will be reporting.
February 14th.
Cool Today Park. Yeah, pretty soon. So.
Cool Today. God, I forgot it was in Northport for 2 weeks last year.
All right, Barrett. Have a great weekend. We always appreciate it. We'll talk to you next Friday.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Barrett Salee, CBSSports.com, at Barrett Salee on Twitter, joining us on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. An easy drinking hard seltzer, just 2 carbs and 100 calories. Try it in strawberry, lime, mango, black cherry, or grab the variety pack.
This is Three Man Front.